Welcome to Integration Excellence, the podcast around enterprise integration and interface management. We explore topics related to integration in the SAP world and beyond. My name is Adam Kivon. I'm an SAP integration expert, book author, trainer, and founder of White Paper Interface Design. Enjoy. Yeah, welcome to another episode of Integration Excellence with Sebastian Meyer.
Hi.
And today's episode is number 54 about AI basics. Artificial intelligence is all over the place. And yeah, that will be our deep dive today. But before we go into AI, Sebastian, let's share some news. Let's catch up what's been going on in the last weeks. It's been a while, right?
It's been a while. That's absolutely right, Adam. Yeah, I guess one of the most important things for me was my trip to Seattle. Mm-hmm. In Seattle, I was on the Microsoft campus in Redmond for the MVP summit. So it was, the community all over the world comes together to Microsoft. It's once in a year. Was very interesting. For me, it was the first time at the Microsoft campus. This thing is massive. So this is a huge campus. So it's its own city, Microsoft City, I would say. Mm-hmm. So it's very huge, but it was very interesting. Some very cool news from the Microsoft product group. I met people for the first time where I only had contact via LinkedIn. That was very cool to see people face to face. So it was very interesting there. So that was a lot of fun in Redmond.
Nice. Really, really cool. Yeah. So really a global event. People from all over the world were flying there.
Yes.
To meet once a year in person. That's really cool. Huh? That's really nice. And you with the MVP status, you were able to get a slot in there, right?
That's right. So there are, I guess, 1,500 slots for in person in Redmond. And MVPs all around the world are in count 4,000. So you need to be fast to get a slot in Redmond.
Nice.
But as I said, it was very, very cool, very nice to meet all the people in person and in Redmond.
Yeah, and you do a lot of traveling recently, huh? I mean,
absolutely. With the jet lag, then we started the German SAP user group, the DSA AG, where we met us, Adam.
Mm, yes.
It was a lot of fun as well. And me and Martin, we provided a session about Edge Integration Cell on Azure. Mm. And We tried another format, I would say. We used Microsoft Forms to engage with all the or with the audience there. So you was able to provide a monster. We produced in the Monster Factory. So our use case was Monster Factory, which was powered by Logic Apps and also the Edge Integration Cell. And the main purpose there was, as I said, with Microsoft Forms, you were able to say you want to have a spider or a skeleton inside of MindFactory. And what we did is with the Logic Apps trigger for Forms, we used the data and then we provided this information through Edge Integration Cell to a MindFactory game. So
Minecraft.
Sorry,
Minecraft. Still playing it.
It was completely new for me to integrate in a game, but it was a lot of fun to do this. Yeah. So Minecraft was a lot of fun.
Technically, it's really fun because I was playing with my son a couple of years ago, how to, use the API of Minecraft in order to interact, build things or spawn objects or monsters in this case. So I think the technical side of it was quite interesting. Yeah. Having a form that triggers a logic app that again triggers an iFlow running on Edge Integration Cell, in the Kubernetes cluster on Azure, and then connected very closely to a running Minecraft world on a server, interacting with an API through it. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
And we were able to see the Minecraft landscape, you know, where you are running around, and then suddenly all the monsters from all the participants appeared and yeah, attacked the protagonist, let's say.
Yeah.
Was running around. That was really cool.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So it was not the normal, I would say, hello world. So it was not the 100th purchase order flow we created in this demo. So as I said before, we wanted to do something different.
It was a success, I think. Yeah, and then even after DSAG, you had a trip to, I think your latest trip was to Magdeburg, right?
Yeah, it was Magdeburger Developer Days. Mm-hmm. And Magdeburger Developer Days is a community conference for developer. For me, it's one of the coolest events in the year. So because of this atmosphere and all the people and how would you say it? It's a very cozy environment there. So mm-hmm. a lot of fun. A lot of people, 800 people for a community conference is insane. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's well organized. So it's very cool. So it's definitely worth it to travel to Magdeburg to have the experience there. So mm-hmm. yeah.
Cool.
Absolutely. I recommend a visit there.
Nice.
I provided two talks there. One talk was about seamless integration with Azure Logic Apps and SAP. Mm-hmm. Was a very niche topic. Mm-hmm. And the other one was about how you can find out the right container technology in Azure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was my two talks there.
Nice. Very good. Wow. Cool. Yeah, great. I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, except for the DSAG, I was only on vacation with my family.
That's also cool.
In the meantime, yeah, it was also nice. It was very relaxing, yeah. No further conferences or anything happening in that sense. So
yeah. It's completely the opposite, Adam. I was on travel for work and you have vacation. That's okay.
Yeah. Also, it's also important from
time. Yeah, absolutely, time. Absolutely.
Definitely. Good. Yeah. All right, then let's move over to the product news section from our both favorite domains, SAP and Microsoft. Mm-hmm. So I have brought two things, actually. One is an official news. Another one is an unofficial news. I still wanted to share because I think it opens up a perspective for many people. So one thing, and we also have a link to the blog post, is that we have an event catalog now also in the SAP Developer Hub. Yeah. So previously the SAP Developer Hub was only a place where you can, you know, host and provision your own API proxies, and then you were discovering them, you were subscribing to them, and then consuming them in your application for API management topics. But now, as events are more and more important in the SAP world, there is now also an event catalog where you can see and visualize or publish all your events that are made available within the SAP ecosystem. So that's not only a pure, API catalog, but now also an event catalog. So thus they have also renamed it to be the SAP Developer Hub now. I think it was even called before like this, but yeah. Yeah, so that's a quite good news and official news. Unofficially, we learned on the DSAG actually that there are plans and there is work in progress for the integration cell on BTP. Yeah. So for, everyone who thinks about, having an integration cell on Kubernetes, mm-hmm. in a private cloud or on prem, there is also potentially in the future a setup or scenario where you can run iFlows within an integration cell on the BTP sub account. yeah, which is hosted and managed by SAP themselves, with the advantage of having the functionality of cloud integration and API management in one environment, yeah, which is basically what an integration cell is. And in the current BTP integration suite setup, you only have either cloud integration or API management, yeah, which you have to configure, and then they can, you know, interact and coexist, and then there are scenarios where they are both in use. But there you can really embed an iFlow, for example, with some, I don't know, IP filtering policies, or with some traffic management policies that are exclusive to API management, which is quite cool.
That's cool. So, yeah, that sounds good. So is this more like a managed approach for the Edge integration cell, or are there no other information right now? So this is my, this is what's in my head right now when I'm thinking about an integration cell on BTP.
I would think that they take away for you the pain of provisioning it, so that it runs under the hood. Yeah. And then it is the same technology basically, but then activated as a BTP service. And then you can run it in there. And maybe this will be the new perspective for the integration suite deployment in the cloud.
Sounds good, yeah.
And by this, also SAP can get rid of the API management, the classical API management, which is, the RPG-based version. So this is, very likely the motivation behind to harmonize and you know, take more control of the code in this case.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah. We will see what's in there for the future.
Yeah, and how long it takes to hit the market.
But it's very important to get rid of these pain points to set up a Kubernetes cluster and so on. So I guess it's the right way go there. Yeah,
definitely. Cool. Yeah. What's new on the Microsoft side then?
On the Microsoft side, there's a lot of information I got on the MVP summit, but I'm not allowed to talk about it, but there are also some public information. Logic App comes with a new data mapper experience. So this is one important thing here. And another important thing is that Logic App comes with an automated unit testing framework out there. So there's a public preview right now, which enhances the developer experience with Logic Apps a lot. It's a very cool feature. So you can end-to-end test your workflows. So this is a very important thing. That's cool. And there's some other news in API management, which now supports MCP, so the Model Context Protocol, which is also in the AI space. And with API Center, you can now register your own MCP server. So if you have some tools, there is a registry now where you can store all the information about that tools. But I guess we will come later to this AI related stuff. That's what's going on in the Microsoft space right now. Cool. But there's a lot more to come. Today is the start of Microsoft Build, the largest developer conference Microsoft, and we will see what we are talking about in the next episode.
True. It's the time for news and updates, because SAP Sapphire is also starting in Orlando.
Oh, right.
The day we are recording, it will be the next day. So, and they also announce news in there. So when we release the episode, things will be not hot anymore, but
then they are old. But we will see. Really exciting times to be an integration developer.
Oh yeah, true, definitely. And you know, not very likely that we are becoming obsolete, huh?
Absolutely.
Even though AI is getting very strong here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a good transition into our deep dive topic for AI or. Yeah, we still have the name AI Basics. We could also have said Gen AI, but maybe we are starting at the very beginning, right, on the surface of the topic. So giving you guys a, an introduction into this topic, where to look at, what is important, what is maybe to come, and which role it plays in the context of enterprise integration, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, as you said, Adam, we thought about before, because of AI is, there's a wave which is very huge, and we try to bring things in order that, yeah, everyone can keep the pace of this, new stuff, I would say. Mm-hmm. And yeah, AI is not new. So AI is an old technology. But what's new is Gen AI. So Gen AI means that AI can produce new content, and which can be text, which can be images, which can be music, videos, and so on. So based on a prompt, we can say, for example, please create a new video about AI, for example. Then AI will create a new video about AI. So that's very cool. And that's the foundation of Gen AI. So produce new content based on a prompt. And I guess Gen AI started its huge wave with the release of ChatGPT. I guess it was 2 years ago right now. I'm not sure. I guess it was 2 years ago. So ChatGPT, where everyone can chat with an AI, and then the AI produced the output. So, and I guess many people said that's the death of Google, because you do not need Google anymore, because anything is inside of this AI. Yeah. And the foundation of a AI is a large language model or a small language model. So this is the brain of the AI. And this is also the limitation of an AI, because this brain needs to be trained, and this training is based on data, on historical data. So it cannot look in the future. It can only see it's only trained with data which occurs in the past or at the time that this model was trained. So, and that's the reason, because Google will not die because we need Google to search for information
especially up to date information, right? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. As I said, the foundation is a language model. It's a large language model, which is very large, and the small language model is smaller. And a small language model, maybe to say, it's for specific tasks, because it's not trained with that huge amount of data like a large language model. Mm-hmm. So, and that's the foundation of Gen AI. And the most important thing is, when you want to talk with an AI, you need to prompt something. And the prompt is very important to set the context of a language model, because the language model knows everything with what is trained with. But to say for a specific task, so for example, what is a good example? Say something about Berlin, then you need to specify that your large language model is a trip advisor, and this trip advisor, or you ask your trip advisor to give some information about Berlin, and then the large language model will answer with new content based on this user prompt. But user prompting is very important in these scenarios. ChatGPT is a very popular application to interact with an AI or with a GPT model. But in enterprise landscape, there are also some applications which are very popular. In the Microsoft space, it's Microsoft Copilot. And in SAP, there's Joule, right?
Mm. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Maybe
for the language models to give a bit broader view. So there are different LLMs, yeah, large language models out there. Some can be accessed in an open source way that you can even download your own model and then run it in your own environment. Others you can only access through APIs, yeah, through the internet, yeah. For example, OpenAI and I think also Google, the Gemini LLM is also exclusively accessible through API, which brings another issue, which is data privacy, right? Yeah. So many organizations are afraid of using those because of, you know, you are basically giving context, and the context means you are, you know, providing information about your company, about your business scenarios, maybe about whatever you want to know, in which business function you are working. Yeah, so yeah, that might be scary. But there are also other things that are working in an open source and also, you know, on-prem or private cloud approach. I think that's, for example, Llama from Meta, yeah, Facebook. Mm-hmm. But there are also others like, you know, from Amazon, Anthropic. Yeah, there are many, many different models available now. And in the SAP world, for example, there is a so-called SAP Launchpad where you can configure the access to those different models. You can configure, yeah, from the SAP context, yeah. And either it's then a hosted scenario where you have your own model locally available. Locally means within the BTP of SAP, or accessible through an API. Yeah, like if you want to really use OpenAI, for example, in this case, then running on Azure, or through Azure. So that's another scenario. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, Microsoft Office. Something which is like the launchpad. It's called Azure AI Foundry, and on AI Foundry you can also create your own models based on your data. You can train your language models, and then you are also able to deploy these models to the location where you want to have this model to live in. But there's also another tool so AI Foundry is more for pro developers, I would say. And there's also another one for citizen developer, which is called the Copilot Studio. Mm-hmm. So in Copilot Studio, the citizen developer are able to create their own agents. So I guess we need to define what an AI agent is. Mm-hmm. So I would say in easy words, an AI agent is on top of an LLM or so AI agent is on top of a large language model. So an AI agent uses a large language model to fulfill tasks. So for example, you can have an AI agent that creates a new PowerPoint slide for you based on the sales from the last 2 weeks. So then your prompt is, so please create a new PowerPoint from the last or from the sales from the last 2 weeks. And then you will get a new output. So for example, the PowerPoint slides, and that is what an AI agent can do. So an AI agent can fulfill tasks that normally a human will do. So that's what an AI agent is specified with. Mm-hmm. And with Copilot Studio, you can build your own AI agent. So for example, you want to automate your personal work. So for example, you have some boilerplate work to do, then you can say, I create an AI agent for this, which will do the work for me. So, and I can do other stuff, which is, or where an AI is not capable of to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is great, what, right? Because agents are very specifically, you know, let's say not educated, but configured. Yeah.
Yeah.
To do stuff for a very specific purpose. And you can even combine them, right? To have multiple agents doing things altogether.
Yeah, absolutely. That's crazy.
And then it becomes wild. Huh?
Absolutely. But it's also cool. As a developer, it's cool to see it, how technology can do the work. But I'm sure some people are afraid about that technology. So, but yeah, that's okay. But I guess to say, someone said to me, with AI Foundry, you can create, or you can create and build your own planes. And with Copilot Studio, you can say the planes where it should fly to and where it comes from. So this is one, I guess an easy explanation when to use what in the Microsoft space. Cool. But there are also some pre-trained models, as you said, as we said, there are large language models which are good for image creation. There are some images they are good for video creation, and there are also some good models for text completion, for example, or for text extraction when it comes to read PDF documents, for example, and bring that to AI readable content, then you need another model than for text completion, for example. That's exactly the point here. But I guess with AI, it will change everything we learned before. So we need to deal with AI, I guess. And I guess we have some very cool scenarios where we can use AI in the development productivity. So as I said, we do not want to do the boilerplate thing, and AI is very good to do this boilerplate code or this boilerplate stuff for us, and then we can concentrate on or focus on the things that are important for us, so which is on a higher level, so to say. And I guess there AI will be great.
Yeah, definitely. In the integration space, I think we have multiple dimensions, right? How we can look at AI. One is, of course, an integration expert, integration developer is a software developer at the same time, right? Mostly, I mean, in the SAP world, you can be a person that is not really good in programming and still can be a good integration expert, right? But there are times when you need complex code. Yeah, you need to have scripts written, stuff done. So when it comes to, I don't know, a Groovy script or an XSLT program or other code that needs to be executed, I guess the same applies for anything on the Microsoft platforms, it's a good way to interact with, for example, ChatGPT, or even with GitHub Copilot. You can review code, you can get things interacted, and the Copilot might show you where there are some weaknesses or where things could be improved or things can be accelerated. So you can, the AI can generate the skeleton of the code for you, or even a very detailed code, how things are to be done, if you are able to explain what you really need, right? So still you have to know, how the logic should be like, and you should be able to understand whether this makes sense or not that was generated. But AI helps a lot, to increase the developer productivity. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, anyone in the integration space working with, the development of code or also other things, they are using already tools for that, right?
Yeah.
I would say. I mean,
as we said, prompting is very, very important there to get the best result out of it.
Yes.
Because otherwise it goes in completely opposite direction of what you want to have from this model or from the AI.
Very important. It's like Google search, right? If you are not able to specify what you're looking for, you are getting weird answers sometimes. But the more precise you are able to define what you need, the better the code will be. And you can even refine a lot. So you don't have to start from scratch again, but you can refine and say, okay, this was already working 80%, but I have this use case in addition, or that specific case that has to be covered. So you don't have to start from scratch all over the place. So
absolutely.
Developer productivity is really great. And SAP, I think last year, they already announced that there will be, you know, a language-based prompt available. And, mm-hmm. and I think it is already in the premium version that you can, you know, say, I need an integration flow. The incoming data is the following EDMX file for OData. The outgoing is an open API spec of this format. And please generate the iFlow, make a proposal for the mapping. Maybe you specify in addition, you know, how the protocol should be like, yeah, whether it's OData maybe on one side and then REST on the other or whatever. And then you get it automatically generated. Yeah, don't have to start, you know, from scratch and click everything through by yourself.
The boilerplate. Yeah,
exactly.
That's cool. Yeah, that's exactly. Cool. So you can concentrate on the main thing here.
Yeah.
I guess it's the mapping and also the conversation with the customer and so on. So you need to specify something. Yeah. Yeah.
The alignment.
That's cool. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's cool. That, will boost productivity, I guess. So because, boilerplate is fully generated and then you can concentrate on the main parts of the integration. That's cool. Yeah, I guess with the upcoming news and also the upcoming features, because Microsoft is also powering AI in all the tools they are delivering. And I guess integration will change based on this. So I'm really sure we right now integration is, or the future of integration will be different from what we are doing now. Because of AI agents and with this MCP stuff. So maybe some explanation on this. AI agents are using tools like we are using hands or nose or ears to hear. AI agents can use tools, for example, like get emails, write emails, just to be easy, and to pack those tools together, we are using MCP, which is the Model Context Protocol. And then you can easily exchange all these tools to other AI agents instead of provisioning the tools every time the same. You can pack this and then you say, AI agent, use this MCP for this tasks and so on. So this is a packaging mechanism, in easy words, that AI agents can use to fulfill tasks, as we said. But I'm sure we will talk about in the next episodes deeply about MCP and also AI agents.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is for sure not the last episode about AI. And I see also a very different use case from just, I would say, just developer productivity. Yeah, because you can imagine that you can use integration also to achieve integration goals, AI goals, to interact with APIs, to interact with large language models through APIs. You have to do it through integration as well, or you can do it with integration as well.
Absolutely.
So again, you can code everything manually, as usual. Yeah, you can consume APIs and do everything point to point and have a very direct connection to the one or multiple agents, or you can go through gateways, you can go through integration that is maybe doing stuff in a standardized and generalized way. Right?
Absolutely.
And I think we've seen already a lot of use cases also for logic apps, for example, right? In this context, also doing, I don't know, agent integration or specific AI-based tasks that are used with the help of integration, not only, to build integrations.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's very important what you said, because AI will only work very well when you have integrated your data very well. So this, I guess this is very important to know. From one customer said, AI projects are integration projects. So, and I guess this is very good for enterprise integration to know that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I think maybe to mention it, at least from an SAP perspective, we have the integration advisor as part of the integration suite, which is the tool to suggest especially B2B mappings, when it comes to crowd knowledge. So it's not really a Gen AI feature. It's more, it's not even a machine learning feature, but it's a graph SAP internally they are having, and they can correlate, for example, what are typical transformations or what are typical field mappings between an SAP S/4HANA order, that is on one hand, and on the other hand, you have an EDIFACT, D96A format. Mm-hmm. And then you get a suggestion based on your location, based on your industry, and then it pre-generates you with this kind of crowdsourced knowledge. It generates you the mapping already. Yeah, so this goes again into developer productivity. Yeah, to take some shortcuts. Yeah, why re-implementing the same typical mapping all over the place again and again? Yeah. So that was already here for a long time, even before the whole hype around OpenAI started. But still, SAP is positioning it into the AI corner, because it kind of is a AI scenario for sure. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, we have this topic, which is not really a developer productivity, but it's also not really a topic where you can use AI. You can use integration for AI scenarios. I would rather position it into operational excellence, as an operational topic, because it's this API anomaly detection. Yeah, it's a feature for API management where API calls are being evaluated over time. And then you have a kind of, typical setup. Yeah. What is, let's say, the norm for you? And then when there are anomalies, when there are deviations, things are going wrongly, like, no traffic at all, or suddenly spikes in the traffic, then you can be alerted. Yeah. And that's cool.
Yeah.
That is a feature also in this premium version, like this iFlow generation feature, but soon they will offer it separately, as I heard, that you can license it in addition to a normal integration suite license.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
So it sounds like, is it like a fraud detection?
Can be used for that. Yeah,
it's very interesting.
Leading to security topics, but can also lead to detect things like, why is this application suddenly not sending data anymore? Or why is this partner suddenly doing this anymore? Doesn't have to be a security topic, but it can be. Yeah.
It's not that easy to build that for your own or by your own. So that's, cool.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And then, I still remember a session we had when we were in Berlin beginning of this year, Sebastian, when Kent Weir from the Microsoft Product Management was speaking about the future of integration with AI, right?
Yeah, right.
Where it was not only this, integration on Rails, but integration that goes super flexible, because
absolutely.
I like this analogy that you don't think into, integration as a train on Rails, but just very predefined, and it's clearly going either that path or that path. Yeah. If then else, whatever. But that it can, assess the situation more dynamically and solve things more, in a Gen AI way.
Absolutely.
I think this is also what's going to be seen in the future, right?
Yeah, I think this will, when we have a look at Seattle, where the build occurs tonight, then I guess there will be some updates on this. Mm-hmm. And you're right, Adam, Kent said that, I guess now we have this shift from deterministic integration to non-deterministic integration, mm-hmm. where Gen AI is reasoning on itself depending on the context. And that's exactly what you said on the dynamic circumstances, mm-hmm. where you normally have your run books or your books of policies and so on, where you have to look and then you have to implement this path separately. And this is not necessary anymore because of Gen AI. Gen AI can decide on its own reasoning which path to go. And this is very exciting. And I guess this is exactly the point where the integration of the future will change dramatically to the integration we are doing today. Yeah. And yeah, very exciting times there.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
I guess we can cover this in one of the next episodes because yeah, this is very an exciting feature.
We will come back on that.
Cool. I'm sure.
Maybe last thing that comes to my mind that even mm-hmm. I learned on the DSAG through a partner, a German partner. I was also visiting and talking to them. They have built a custom solution or a solution as a consulting company, an add-on to the SAP world, also AI based, yeah, where you can analyze the messages and error, and then an agent is analyzing the issues and then trying to resolve the issues, or trying to at least give you the advice what to do, yeah, based on AI techniques, and then collecting the data, bringing this into the BTP. And fun fact, the tool is called ADAM, ADAM, as an abbreviation for something like artificial monitoring. But it's a kind of again a topic for operational excellence, right? Boilerplate tasks are being automated, but in the support and not in the in the development, not in the build.
But very interesting. So you need Adam and Jewel to solve all your problems in the SAP space.
would be great.
Yeah.
I was not involved in the naming here.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, good. I think then we are at the end of the episode, Sebastian, right?
Yeah, I think from a foundation perspective, that's a good starting point to get an understanding what Gen AI means, and maybe we try to order some words, some technologies to cover that deeply in next episodes.
Yeah. And there is more to come for sure. So stay tuned and see you and hear you next time. Thanks,
bye.
Sebastian.
Bye, Adam.
How mature is your organization when it comes to integration topics? Find out for free with our integration maturity assessment at wint.co/IMA, that's WHINT.co/IMA. In case you want to take control of your integration landscape to increase transparency and automate your integration quality processes, please schedule a call at wint.co/contact. If you enjoyed the content, please like and subscribe to our podcast. See you next time.